I was born very close to what is now called Silicon Valley, near San Jose. It is the dream of many young men in India to end up in Silicon Valley. So I was thinking that you're going west, but many of us born in the West, and I can say for myself and Maharaj, in affluent families, we had good education, we had so many opportunities in America, we turned our back on that and we came to India. So the boys are going, you are going, not you, but compatriots are going west and we are coming east. This is the irony of it all. East meets west, somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean we are crossing plains. So I can perfectly understand why one would go to get a good career in America, to get sufficient funds, to maintain family and so forth and so on. But you should also understand why so many Westerners are coming to your country. I would say, in some sense, America is the source of material prosperity. I don't know how long that's going to last under our president, Mr. Trump, but at least for now, there is prosperity there. And we do need a stable life, a stable foundation to live on. But you should understand why so many Westerners are coming to your country. Originally, this great country of India, it wasn't known as India. Now we say Jai Hind, Jai Hind. But previously it was known as Bharat. If you look in the ancient scriptures, India is called Bharat. For different reasons, there was once a famous king many millions of years ago, Purana. We have our Puranas, but we have the Mahabharat, the greater history of India. Even describes there that at one point, the emperor of India, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he ruled the whole world. The whole world was Vedic culture, your culture. The whole world was once Vedic culture. And India was called Bharat because there was another king, a famous king, and this part of the world was named after that king. But another meaning in Sanskrit of Bharat is light. India was called the land of light. Not light in the sense that it's very sunny here in India for much of the year. You could say a subtropical country. But light in the sense of knowledge. For the last 50 years, actually, both myself and Maharaj, this will be our 50th year in the Hare Krishna movement, we've studied the great scriptures of this country, the spiritual philosophy of the ancient sages. We've studied that for 50 years. And in my travels in the world, with all due respect to other countries and other peoples and other civilizations, there's no philosophy of life such as we find in the Vedas. The very purpose of life is described there. Again, we need material security, we need material prosperity. But that's never the goal of life, because that's here today, it's gone tomorrow. At one point we have to die and leave everything behind. So our material education, our success, our profits, when you die, you leave and you fly your own airplane. It has some importance. But infinitely more important is spiritual knowledge. There's the one scripture begins, the Vedanta Sutras. Sutra means the knowledge is capitalized, it's the essence of the knowledge is given in the Vedanta Sutras. Sutra means like a code. So the opening verse is Atato Brahma Jignasya. Now that you've come to the human form of life, what is your business? Your business is self-realization. And the Vedas are not just speaking to people of this great country, India. This is what the world is discovering now. That's why so many people are flocking to your country, or reading the Vedas or practicing the spiritual life, the culture of India. That message is addressed to anyone who has taken a human form of life, be it India, Australia, New Zealand, America, Mongolia, Ethiopia. That message, Atato Brahma Jignasya. Now that you've come to the human form of life, what is your business? Your business, your ultimate business, is to understand who you actually are as different than this body, as the spiritual force within this body, the spark of life within this body, the Atman, the soul. And what is the soul's connection with Bhagavan, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna? That's the goal of life. Nothing more, nothing less. You can judge success in your life, not just by your material prosperity, that's okay, but again, here today, gone tomorrow. But you can judge your progress in life by how much you come to understand who you actually are. That is the business, not only of the rishis and the sages and the yogis, but everybody. The whole world is an illusion. You ask someone, you meet someone, "Sir, who are you? Ma'am, who are you?" And the common response, wherever I go, because I've traveled to the four corners of the earth, I always ask the same question, "Who are you?" "Hey, here I am. How do you like me?" But is that who we are? I was at the doctor's office the other day, I had a little infection, and the doctor was a philosopher. He didn't know if he wanted to be a professor of philosophy or a doctor, so I'll be doctor, he said. But he told me that the body is 72% water. When I heard that, I thought, that's our philosophy, we're not the body. Aham brahmasmi, I am spirit soul, I'm not this body. I said, I'm going to use that in my next talk, and I'm giving that talk now. The body is 72% water. And my question to all of you, because you were born in this country and you have some sense of spirituality, more than other peoples in the world, because there's a vast treasure house of knowledge here, it filters down in different ways. I ask you, is that you? Are you the body? Are you 72% water? Are you something more profound? Any intelligent person will conclude that I'm not a bag of water, I'm something more profound. Even when we talk about the body, what do we say? This is my hand, this is my arm, this is my head, this is my tummy. We don't say I hand, I arm, I head. That means very bad English. No, it's my body. Who's the me? This is the first question of life. Life from the cradle to the grave is just a succession of asking questions and getting answers, isn't it? We're just asking questions and getting, we want to improve our lives. So with knowledge, we can improve our lives. We always ask, so the first question is, who am I? Because unless you know who you are, you don't know how to live your life in such a way as to find the satisfaction that everyone on this planet is looking for. You won't find the satisfaction, you won't find the peace of mind, you won't find the happiness, if you don't know who you are. If you think you're the body, the whole goal of life is just to please these senses. The gladiators of Rome. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The whole idea was to squeeze as much pleasure out of this body, out of this life, out of this world, before I die. But you can never fulfill those material desires. Life is not constructed like that. Trying to satisfy your material desires is like pouring kerosene on a fire. You want to extinguish the fire, so you pour kerosene. What happens? So as you grow older, you become more frustrated because the desires are never fulfilled. In my travels, I've met kings and queens and prime ministers. I met famous entertainers, billionaires, millionaires. So many poets and scientists, I've had that opportunity in my humble service. And more often than not, that 1%, the 1% of society who's affluent, and you have a really heart-to-heart conversation, they say, "You know what, Swami? I've got it all, but something's missing. Something's missing. And what's missing is the satisfaction of the soul within. That's what's missing. What we're doing in our modern society is polishing the cage without feeding the bird inside. A very simple analogy. We're polishing the cage and we're not feeding the bird inside. So in my travels, I see so much material progress, now also in your country. But I don't think people here in this country are any happier now than they were 100 or 200 or 300 years ago. In fact, they may be less happy. Because your ancestors were really into spiritual life. And we shouldn't think, oh, those are the old times, they're just living in caves, they're living in forests, it's all mythology. It's not mythology. It's fact. Because it's passed down by the most intelligent, cultured, wise persons this planet has ever seen. Srila Vyasadeva, who wrote down the Vedic scriptures. Was he just writing some mythology down or some stories for children, Aesop's fables? No, he was giving us the history of this universe. He was giving us the absolute truth, the knowledge by which we can become free from the entanglement of material life. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyatityanta kalevaram. When you die, what is most dear to you comes into your mind at the moment of death. At that state you attain in your next life. Dehinosmin yata dehe omanam yovanam jara tatyantaraspaktir dirastatanibhuyanti. As we change bodies in this lifetime, when we die, what happens? The whole world doesn't know, but India knows. Your culture, your ancestors, your scriptures, we know what happens at death. If you have any amount of material desire, you take birth again. And again. And again. Birth, disease, old age, and death. Birth, disease, old age, and death. Birth, disease, old age. Ooh, that was very good. I met one man the other day. He said, yes, this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, this philosophy of India, it makes sense. So if I have to take birth again, what do I have to do to be born like Bill Gates or Microsoft? I said, why do you want to be like Bill Gates? Hey man, 52 rooms in his house, beautiful wife, nice children, everyone loves him. He's a philanthropist, he's going to give away his $52 billion. Who wouldn't want to be Bill Gates? I said, me. I don't want to be Bill Gates. I said, because if you're born again, maybe you're rich, but birth is no fun. Disease is no fun. Old age is no fun. We're turning 70 this year. It's no fun. I have my glasses, I have my hearing aids, my digestion pills, my artificial knees. No fun. And then you die. To summarize it, our spiritual master said, this material world is no place for a lady or gentleman. Our goal should be the same goal as the ancient sages of this country. It's not that that knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, or the Bhagavad Purana, or the Upanishads, the Itihasas, all the scriptures that nobody reads anymore in this country. Well, that's for the old days. No. Absolute truth is relevant in the past, absolute truth is relevant at the present, and absolute truth will be relevant 10,000 years from now. The purpose of life, the purpose of human life, remains a constant factor. Things may change, dress styles, business interests, you know, the environment, it may all change, but the purpose of life remains the same. And you young boys, you have a chance to attain that success. Because in this age in which we live now, the process of self-realization, knowing who I am, who is God, who is Krishna. Krishna is the original name for God. It means the most beautiful, adorable person, the reservoir of all pleasure. We all have an eternal relationship with Krishna, with God. And if we can attain to His abode, tikke acha, life is very nice. In the spiritual world, life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. In this world, it's not eternal, it's temporary. It's not full of knowledge, it's full of ignorance. And it's not full of bliss. Tora, tora. There's a little bliss. But it's like giving a drop of water to a man who's dying of thirst. It's not enough. If you want real satisfaction, you have to revive your dormant spiritual nature, your love for God. And if you practice that throughout your life, in the midst of your career and your family and your concerns with this great country and the environment, that's okay. But you cultivate your spiritual life, then when you die, where do you go? You go home. And there's no place like home, spiritual world. This is India's gift to the world. America gives you iPhones and Toyota cars and this and that. But India is like a beacon of light for the whole world. It's giving this divine knowledge. And my fear is that the light might go out. Because there's more boys going to Silicon Valley than California people coming for enlightenment here. The ratio's topsy-turvy. So our program tonight is to plead with you, to beg you to take up the tradition of your country. Don't be mesmerized by what the West has to offer. Again, it can be used. It's like Lord Buddha said. The middle path is the safest path. The middle path means don't try to be a renounced yogi in the Himalayas. Don't fake it. You won't be able to do it. At the same time, don't become a mundane materialist and think that, you know, life is chemicals, everything's finished at death, there's no God in existence. Indian culture is its height now. No. The middle path. Take according to your need, not according to your greed. Simple living with high thinking. Not complicated life like in California and Silicon Valley with no time to think. Just money is the honey, money is the honey. It's so sweet, it can't be beat. That's the modern mantra of boys going to California. Money is the honey. What happened to the ancient mantras of the Vedic culture which liberated you? It stated that sound can condition you and sound can liberate you. So in this day and age, a process of self-realization has been given by a recent avatar. We're all aware of the 10 avatars. They're not fiction, they're not mythology. Those 10 avatars, they actually appear throughout the ages. It's not storybook stuff. It's given again by the most realized, saintly, pure personalities. It's stated that in this day and age in which we live now, there's another incarnation. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shambhupam Vishaparshanam Yabnai Sankatan Praya Jantihi Shu Medashaha. That same personality, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, who appeared at the end of the last age, Dwapara Yuga, he's again appeared in Kali Yuga, unknown even to the people of this great country. We all know the Das avatars, Matsya, Kurma, Parasam, so we know so many, Buddha. But do you know that Bhagavan has also appeared in the age of Kali? Yes. He's called the golden avatar. Krishna was blue in Dwapara Yuga, and in Kali Yuga he's golden. He comes with his associates, and he introduces a process of self-realization that's very simple and sublime. Because we don't have time. Things have sped up to the point where our heads are spinning. People get into such anxiety and stress. So the process for this age, because again, self-realization is the goal. Who am I? Who is God? What's my relationship back home? It's been made very simple. Three words in the form of 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. What was attained by the yogis and the jnanis and the rishis and the tapasvis in previous ages, through huge austerities and penance, living in the Himalayas, studying the Vedas. That can be achieved in one lifetime if you regularly chant the Maha Mantra in the morning before you go to school or work, in the evening when you come back, or you come to the temple here on occasions and you sing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The purpose of life is the same. The methodology changes a little bit according to the time and circumstance, just like there's different seasons. In summer, you just wear a lungi. In winter, you wear a coat. So according to the seasons, you change your clothes. So according to the ages, the dharma, the yuga dharma, the process of understanding who am I, who is God, what's my relationship with Him, where real happiness lies, it changes a little bit. So, Harinama Harinam, Harinama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anitha, Brihat Narayan Parana. Then the age of Kali, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the easiest and most sublime means of achieving what we call Krishna consciousness, liberation, mukti, or more so, bhakti, love for God, just the constant chanting of the holy names, because this is not some ordinary sound. Gluk Prem Dan Harinam Sankirtan. This chanting has come from the spiritual world, just like Mother Ganges. She flows to the heavenly planets, down to the earth planet, into the lower planetary system. Everywhere the Ganges go, people get purified. So this mantra has also come from the spiritual world. Wherever it goes, people become purified of lust, anger, and greed, hatred, envy, racism. All these things which people are struggling with, they don't know how to deal with it. Just chant God's name. He's the purest, and He's present in the sound of His name. Atato Brahma Jignasta, come to the human form of life. Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. God is present in the sound of His name. Our spiritual masters say, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, God is dancing on the tip of your tongue. What a phenomenon. So this is a very ancient culture, your Vedic tradition. It's authorized because it's given by the Lord Himself when He spoke Bhagavad Gita, passed down by great sages, and it works. Here's two examples, myself and Maharaj, and tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of people around the world. They're dressing like this. They're shaving their heads. They're wearing Kunti Mala. They're becoming vegetarian. They're offering their food to Krishna. They're living like proper householders, grihasthas. They're raising Vaishnava children. We have gurukulas. We have farms. We have institutes of Vedanta philosophy and science. We're flooding the world with Krishna consciousness. But you can do it better than us, because it's in your DNA. When you're born in this country, from the very birth, you're hearing Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Bharat, Vyasadeva, Vasishtha Muni, Narad. You're hearing these things. You may not know so much. It's in your blood. So when you just, like spiritual master said, you take someone from India, you scratch their under their skin, they're devotees of Krishna. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the most pious people in the universe, they take birth in Bharat. The whole goal of this program is to revive your dormant Krishna consciousness, your spirit soul. You're a servant of God. You're not Indian. I'm not American. He's not French or German. We're not men. We're not women. We're not black, white, color. No. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm spirit soul. As a spirit soul, I belong in the spiritual world. And the quickest way to get out of this world, Dukkalaya Mashashvatam, temporary and full of suffering, is to chant and dance in ecstasy while chanting Hare Krishna. Study this philosophy. It goes very, very, very deep. It'll satisfy the intellect. All you boys are very intelligent. It'll satisfy your intellect and take prasad at the moment of death. Go home, and there's no place like home, because in the spiritual world, every step is a dance. Every word is a song, and it's a festival every day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.